What we're going to talk about is Micah. Micah 6, 8. And it starts at verse 6, but we'll leave that alone because he talks about what he might do to try to get God's favor. Giving all kinds of oil and thousands of cattle and even offering up his firstborn son. Which I don't know about you parents, but there was a couple of times during with my son, I was wondering whether that was just applicable or not. But it says in Micah, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? That is a question in the Hebrew. And it has caused me to go back. So I did all my things out of the NASB because that's a little more literal translation. So we're going to go through it step by step because believe it or not, I got so excited. It gives the whole gospel. In fact, the whole Bible in that one verse. Let's unpack it just a little bit. But it starts with the first one. Do justice. That's a word we hear a lot nowadays, don't we? We want justice. Justice for, and you know, plaster in your, whatever it is. A lot of what the people are marching for around the world is justice as they define it, and it sometimes coincides exactly with what the Lord defines as justice. The rule of law applied equally across the board. It is the rule, it is the law, it is held up, right? You've heard that with some people and speakers, right? You know, we just want justice. And when the way they're defining it, yes, it is. They want the law to apply equally to everyone across the board. Of course, they don't define everything as justice the way we do. We know what the Lord's law is, and that covers a lot more than what they call it. In fact, sometimes what they call justice harkens back to my years teaching high school when I had so many students come up to me and say, oh, come on, be fair. And all of a sudden, I had these high school students acting like they were, 7 years old. It's not fair. And I learned real quick to look at them and say, which fair do you want? And they went, what? Well, do you want justice or do you want mercy? If you happen to be on the right side of the rules, you want justice. If you're on the wrong side of the rules, you want mercy. You applied the rule equally to him, why don't you apply it to me? Justice. You gave him a special break around the rules, why don't you give it to me? Mercy. So I look at them and I say, what do you want, justice or mercy? And they, most of the time they go, huh? Once in a while, I actually got a few of them go, oh. I don't know about you, but teachers, I don't know about pastors, but we all live for the, oh. Yeah, that's kind of like when the penny drops. So what is justice? Well, justice, to do justice in the Hebrew, the do is asah. That's the Hebrew word. It means perform an activity with a distinct purpose, a moral obligation or a goal in view. It is action, action-oriented. So the first thing, the basis, the foundation is activity, right? Don't we have to do, before we get into esoteric things, we have to get to the active, right? That's where it starts. Do. Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but I married into a Jewish family. And I'll tell you about rules, according to God, when I go and visit my Orthodox brother-in-law in Jerusalem. I learn about law, let me tell you. There are 613 rules, according to the third century. Maimonides actually counted them a few centuries later. 613, the first two are in Genesis. Oh yeah, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. That's a rule of God. Second one is, no Jew will eat the sinew of the hip bone. That's in Genesis? Yes, because the Lord, while he was wrestling with Jacob, he touched him in the hip socket to end it. And so now that is holy because it is touched by the Lord. And they will not consume it. Physical activity. A lot of that law is all aimed at do. What do you do and not do? By the way, there's 248 positive do's and 365 don'ts. What happened, a lot of these 613 rules they hadn't found yet. When Jesus was around, they found a lot of them later when they built a hedge around, when they lost the temple, they had to build a hedge around the law. The law says you can't give a man 40 stripes, more than 40 stripes, lashes. It would humiliate him. So what the Jews say is give 39, just in case of a miscount. Just in case. They built a hedge around the law. The whole thing about one verse says, do not boil a kid in its mother's milk. One verse. And a guy told a joke, he says, you know, God gave that to Moses. And Moses says, oh, you mean that we should make sure that we use different utensils so that we don't spatter one on the other? He says, no, God said, no, just don't boil a kid in its mother's milk. Oh, you mean that we should have different pots and pans and like that, a whole different set for milk and for meat, and then maybe a different one for that's neither one, you know, called parve. No, Moses, I don't boil a kid in his mother. Oh, you mean we should have different sinks for milk and for meat and different refrigerators and different stoves? Moses, you do what you want to do. Because they can't. And that's part of the kosher law, and that's what they're under all the time. That's the justice. They're following the just law. And that's why I'm so glad. And that's why they have a minion. They can't. Prayer is not holy and sanctified unless you have 10 Jews, men. A minion, men, 10 men, can't be women. You can have 9 really orthodox rabbis. They're not a minion, but if one lone cobbler joins them, it's a minion. So even the lowest Jew is very important. Of course, Jesus gave us an out. He said, wherever 2 or more are gathered, I'm there. Yeah. So we got a count of 8, you know, discount. But aside of all the joking and everything, God is just. Let's remember that. And our society, like I said, sometimes they don't even want that in there, especially not God's just. You hear it all the time, right? They don't want to hear the word sin. Oh, no. What we're doing is fine for us. Don't worry. No, God is not just. God is just. Before we go into anything else, we got to lay that as a foundation. Everything else is built on it. God is just. Otherwise, we're not sinners, and we don't need a redeemer. Because God is just. He has to apply the rules every time to everybody. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. And we need an out. Because the law says we're doomed. That's what the Old Testament does. I mean, they were given these rules, and Moses gave them a whole list of blessings, and then he gave them a whole list of curses. The curses, by the way, are twice as long as the blessings. And they kept doing it wrong, and God punished them, and they came back. But you notice he always wanted them back, which gets us to start coming toward the second point, but I don't want to rush that. Remember the prophets also said that loving the Lord is more important than all sacrifices and duties. That's Hosea 6:6. And that's what Jesus commended somebody for. Some people try to legalize love. You know, there's a lot of legalism, unfortunately, around. They want to define it as accepting anything, right? Love is accepting anything. Otherwise, you're not loving. No. Just. You got to have just. You can accept the people. You don't accept what they do. They love the father in the prodigal son story, right? They keep ignoring the fact that the son repented and came to his father and said, I have sinned before you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Keep me as one of your servants. The legalists in the fellowship act like the older brother. But that's a different message. God is just. No matter what you talk to and somebody around here in our society, remember that. And don't lose it. Don't back off on it. Never back off on it. God is just. It's the foundation. But we get to the second part. Do justice, love, kindness, mercy. The Hebrew word is so much better, chesed. Okay? The Hebrew word chesed, for it covers more than that. But the word love that's used there, Hebrew, is ahaba. Now, ahab is the base word, but they used ahaba, which is feminine. It loyalty to and a heart's desire for. Chesed. You see it in the Old Testament. He's always wanting his people to come back. He wants it. But he's a just God. That's the foundation. He can't change that. He is true to himself. They have any turning and come back to him, he forgives them. Okay? So his heart's desire, love, chesed, mercy, love, kindness. So best judge in the world, right, is the one who has somebody come before him on the bench and the rule says, I got to do this. But a good judge, right, knows how to apply the law and how to have a heart-seeking chesed, mercy, to this person. So if there's a way to satisfy the law and yet still show mercy, that's it. That's the way. That's God's heart. That should be our heart. I ran across this, and I reread Psalm 136. Oh, my gosh, you want to know about the kindness of God, read Psalm 136 about 5 or 6 times. It covers it, absolutely. God is infinite. I mean, so his mercy is infinite ways of being shown. We are to display kindness and faithfulness toward each other, especially toward the poor, the weak, and those in need. And who is more needy than those who are sinning and separated from God and need his word? That is being good to them. Also, if they have physical needs, like widows in Africa and like that, yes, you do what you can for that too. But we are not like some parents that enable their children by satisfying a physical need when they should be tough love. Even God showed tough love to his people, right? Sometimes love, you parents know that, right? Tough love. When you're having to tell your kid, no, you've got to do this yourself. Otherwise, you're never going to grow. And our Father in heaven, he did that for us. Sometimes he has tough love for us. So while satisfying step one, the basis, do justice, we have to deeply desire and long for giving chesed, kindness, showing it. Jesus, with the woman caught in adultery. Oh, that's such a smart reply, isn't it? Let he who is among you without sin cast the first stone. And in case you didn't really read that, they started with the oldest, dropped their stones, and walked away. You know how the young ones are. I'm right. I can do it. The old ones say, I've been there. I know about this. And so it left there. Where are those who accuse you? No one? Then neither do I. Go your way and sin no more. You receive mercy now, but you're still under the law. Now, I want to get back to that man when they said, what is the greatest commandment? And this man, this scribe, saw that he'd answered their other questions about the denarius, paying the tax, so well. Render to Caesar what Caesar and what to God's God. And he said, which is commanded is the greatest? Jesus, who knew people's heart, knew that it was an honest question. And so he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your strength, and your soul. And the second is like it. He didn't ask that, but Jesus gave it. The second one is love your neighbor as yourself, which is also there in the Pentateuch. And the word in Greek, it says, saw that he'd answered truthfully, earnestly. It means even more than that. He deeply appreciated what Jesus' answer said. And so he quoted Hosea saying, yes, it is. First he quoted the Shema, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, that is. And more important than all the sacrifices, quoting the scribe, the prophet Hosea. And love your neighbor as yourself. It is better than all the commandments. And Jesus looked at him with understanding and said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. The scribe had just accepted level one justice and said that number two, loving kindness, is even more important on top of that. What was he missing? He was missing step three. We'll get to that. But he was not far from the kingdom of God. God's justice requires blood. We know that, okay? And Jesus satisfied the law and gave an avenue for God to show chesed. So chesed doesn't abrogate the law. It finds a way to fulfill it and show mercy. But how do we know to do this? Every situation is different. God's infinite. He knows how to do it because he can pull out of any infinite, you know, infinite situation. What do we do? Well, that's good. You check to the person who has all the answers. It's a relationship. Not following a set of rigid rules. Don't always find it generalized from one example. Well, the Lord did this here, so I'll do it. Maybe, maybe not. Check with him. And that's where we get to the third level. Yeah, God is just. We must do justice. Love and yearn and go for chesed, showing kindness. But how to do it in each situation? Walk humbly with your God. I mean, there's examples. Enoch. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him, Genesis 5, 22 to 24. And then in Hebrews, the author says, Enoch, he was pleasing to God. My gosh. I'm sure not every day. Nobody's that perfect until Jesus came along. But to know that I'm no fail. And my wife can tell you that happens quite often. But he walked with God and he pleased them. Jesus walked with God. He quoted him from John 14:11a. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. He walked with God. And Paul said, you know, he's supposed to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I mean, those are good examples. I wish I could follow them all the time. I don't know about you, but I have trouble. Well, here's some examples. Jesus said, the flesh, you've got to walk with God, but you've got to walk humbly with God. And unfortunately, we have a fair number of people in the fellowship who have trouble with humbly, and I am one of the chief people with that. Okay, and Jesus says, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And he began speaking parables to the invited guests. This is out of Luke 14, 7 to 11. And he noticed how they'd been picking out the place of honor at the table. Because this is very important. By the way, go back to my nephew in Jerusalem, when he had his bar mitzvah, he was a bright, bright yeshiva student studying the word. All the rabbis around there wanted him. And so when his bar mitzvah happened, you should have seen, I wasn't there, but my wife told me about how these rabbis were jockeying position at the table. Which one deserved to sit closer to the place of honor? They do it. They do it. They did it 2,000 years ago. They do it now. But he said, when you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor. At least someone more distinguished comes. And the man who invited you both has to say, give your place to this man. And then in disgrace, you proceed down to the lowest place. No, no. When you go and pick the lowest place. So they who invited you will come and say, here, friend, come, move up higher. The Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was demon-possessed went and asked Jesus, and he was trying to get a rest break. And he says, woman, it's not good to take the food for the children and give it to the dogs. Now, at that point, if she wasn't humble, she would have gotten really ticked off on him and walked away, right? But she cared about her daughter, and she understood humble. And she said, well, the dogs can eat the crumbs that fall off the table. And Jesus had to answer, he says, for such an answer, your daughter's healed. He really appreciated humility. He did. Like the Roman centurion. Remember, he's going to heal his, got delayed on the way, and he sent a guy and said, I don't deserve to have you come under my house. Say the word, and my servant will be healed. I'm under authority. I have people under me. I say, do this. It gets done. You just say the word. And Jesus says, wow, such faith and humbleness. Even his 12, twice in Luke, twice, they're arguing on the road about who's greatest. Twice, his chosen 12. You got to think he's going, ay, vey. One time he invites a child over to him and says, who doesn't accept? It becomes like this little child cannot enter the kingdom. And he also did was, you got, and after that, James and John came to him, had a mother come to him and say, can you give my sons the two highest places in your kingdom? Then he tries to top it off by washing their feet at the Last Supper. He says, yes, I am your master and your rabbi. I have given you an example. Do it to each other. And that's why I am so blown away nowadays. I just this last year fell in our Bible study, went around and washed the feet of everybody in the Bible study. Sometimes we have to do active, okay? Active, do justice, love, yearn heart, and walk humbly with your God. Whew. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. As I read, it is not a one and done anointing. It is a daily recurrence. As work out your salvation with fear and trembling. If you could make yourself pure in seeking justice, chesed, and walking with God, you will see God. I can't tell you, going back to my love of this thing that we've created to model what the Lord has already created in the universe, it's physics, okay? I can see things and imagine things down to the subatomic particles that God holds together and to the reaches of galaxies. And I see God sometimes, and that is a blessing, a special gift he's given me. I have no claim to it. It is a gift. And those times I could be reminded, maybe I could see God more and be reminded I'm supposed to be walking with him. Oh, yeah. Like sometimes when my wife and I go walking, I have a larger stride than her, and I keep having to remind myself I'm walking with her. I've got to remind myself I'm walking with God, and my stride can't be bigger than his. I sometimes can go places I shouldn't be going. But let's put it together. These three levels, do justice, love, mercy, and walk humbly with your God. And all of a sudden struck me, the Lord gave me, it's like the Old Testament, do justice, the gospel, love, mercy, he gave Jesus. The Father, the Son, walk humbly with your God as the Holy Spirit with acts on. It is. Micah, prophet, was speaking about the whole Bible and the history of God's relationship with his people. I mean, but it's also personal to each one of us. I know it's true for me. It's so easy to get wrapped up in the do justice. Oh, I'm supposed to do this, which I sometimes fail to do. What do I do? I mean, I've got some rules that I can't apply, but that's... What does he really want me to do? Let's go deeper and find out the love, the heart's yearning of God. Maybe it's not to do this here. Maybe it's not to hand out something to someone right here, but it's tough love saying, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a little start, but I can't solve the problem for you. This is one I believe God wants you to do. And if I am walking with him, so not just what I seek, but then I want what God seeks. Now, I may want to, you know, not do something, but I think the best example was, again, from Scripture. The rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to be saved, to get eternal life, excuse me. And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There is not good but God. Gave him a chance? No? Okay. He says, well, what do you know? He says, the law says, and by the way, he put one in there that isn't in the Ten Commandments, do not fraud. And I wondered sometimes in my heart whether Jesus was mentioning sins that he knew the young man had committed. And of course, been forgiven by the law by giving a sacrifice at the temple. So the man claimed to have satisfied level one, just do justice. And asked, what else? What more do I have to do? And the scriptures say Jesus looked on him and, one translation, and it's closer to the Greek, loved him. He understood him. You sometimes have parents look at a child and they say, you know, look what I've done. And, oh, well, you've got a ways to go. He said, well, then you just lack one thing. Imagine what the rich young ruler said. One thing, God, I've got this. Beat. Go, sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Level two, love chesed. And then come and follow me, walk humbly with your God. And brothers and sisters, I ask maybe for that to pray as I go off to where I'm going, that I may put this into action daily. I may even put that verse on my wall in the office so that I remember what I'm supposed to be doing. All of us should, shouldn't we? I mean, and that's what we call for right now. I would open it up here, the altar, that we come and seek God. Whatever level we're at, level one, level two, level three, we can still work on it. Work on it every day. That God would help me do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with my God.